When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Who are you? I'm you, from the future. What do you want? I want to tell you about Dave. Dave has your future money. Spend it on whatever you need. With extra cash from Dave, you can get up to $500 instantly with no interest and no credit check. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC.
Ever since hopes of silverware are gone for another year, they were beaten 2-0 by Manchester City at Goodison Park in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup tonight. Good effort from the lads, but came up against a really good side, and ultimately their quality proved to be the difference. Joining me now, Rob Vera, Dave Downey. Dave, I'll come to you first. Mate, I sort of just put on Twitter there, I went into that game expecting nothing, and then by 60 minutes I was in the "this is going to really hurt if it doesn't go our way" sort of territory, because the lads seem to pour everything into it. But it just feels like one of them, you've got to just sort of suck it up and say they had world-class players coming off the bench and we didn't really have anyone coming off. And I think that proved to be the difference in the end, didn't it?
Well, if you recall after the Chelsea game, Matt, I was pretty averse to that sort of attitude after a game against quality opposition. I thought Everton could have done a hell of a lot more. Here tonight, I'm not sure they could have, and I think that's a testament to how Carlo Ancelotti set this up tonight. He did, as usual, making it about fine margins, and there were a couple where Everton could have profited from and actually took the lead in the game. They frustrated City for large parts. I'm sure that's what you'll hear from Pep Guardiola, how tough of a task it was for his players tonight. Normally, I don't buy into any of that sort of rhetoric and pats on the back and stuff like that, but I don't think Everton could have done much more in order to try and get themselves in the semi-finals of the FA Cup tonight. And there were really good performances all over the pitch. In terms of playing as a team and how we want them to play as a team, look, we're a million miles away from that, but that's full of mitigating circumstances, injuries, key personnel out, not being able to overly rely on certain players in the team because they have their own limitations as well. So, it was a fine effort from Everton tonight, and I'm pleased with the display. On another night, you know, you don't get it cleared off the line. Richarlison makes the pass instead of shooting when he has a tame left-footed shot when he could have slid one of our players in. Certain moments in the game which Ancelotti made into moments Everton were on the wrong side of. To lose 2-0, it wasn't a 2-0 game. So I think City probably deserved it by the odd goal at the very most. I think maybe we could feel hard done by that we didn't get it to extra time and possibly penalties. I think many of us would have taken that outcome at the start if we're honest with ourselves. A good effort, but another difficult one to take, isn't it? Because it is back to that old adage of X amount of years without the trophy and not reaching Wembley and stuff like that. But I suppose on the bright side, and I put sort of tongue-in-cheek on Twitter, if you're not going to make Wembley, don't make Wembley where nobody can go and watch. So that's the sort of solace, rather tragically, I'm taking from this.
Rob, how are you feeling after that, mate?
Probably a little from, you know, your column A, Matt, and a little from Dave's column B, just from the standpoint that I think, like you, I started to kind of believe a little bit as the game went on, and thought, well, maybe we can drag this into extra time or whatever. I don't know, get the odd bounce, but the bounce never came. And in fact, City got a bounce or two that just went their way as well. And they're just better. And when you can bring Kevin De Bruyne off the bench, it just feels like a universe apart in terms of what your prospects are. But having said all that, you have to admit, I mean, if for those of you who watched every minute of that, you have to admit that it was a really inspired, enjoyable defensive performance all around. And when I say all around, I mean, every player on the pitch seemed pretty committed to the cause tonight. If anything, they not only frustrated City, but at times they seemed almost comfortable in the way they were frustrating City at the beginning of the game. Thought they protected Jao Virginia well. I thought that Andre Gomes was decent in midfield tonight. I didn't really think anyone played that bad. I thought defensively Ben Godfrey is, you know, he's some kind of weird cyborg center half, you know, bought from Blade Runner or whatever, sent back to the past or whatever to play for Everton. He's amazing. I thought Yerry Mina was good, especially given that has it been a month that he's been out? I don't think he's played a minute in a month or so. I thought that was pretty good. But at the end of the day, I think you see that even if we kind of have one of those renaissance nights where we're kind of like a David Moyes peak level Everton team in terms of the effort and all of those things, I just don't think we're there yet in terms of being able to convert that defensive effort into offensive transition, into final balls, into scoring. And until we can get there, these types of results are probably inevitable, but it was really hard to fault any of the effort tonight when you realize how much you're missing. You're down to your third goalkeeper. You're missing so much talent in James Rodriguez and Doucouré, who I'm becoming increasingly convinced is the one player we can't do without. His presence just is missed so much. So, you know, when you're missing that much and you're in that kind of position, I think you just have to hope bounces go your way. And it just wasn't that way for Everton tonight.
Yeah, I think, Dave, I felt like when we sort of got to 70 and I sort of thought we were doing well. And, it, you know, as you mentioned there, it was that sort of game that we've won at times this season where it was, you know, on a fine margin, like a set piece or, you know, one of our players doing something really good to get us over the line. But I just felt as though in the 15 minutes before they scored from 70 to 85, it was when they brought Mahrez on. They had like a nice little pass and move down the right-hand side, I think, which Foden had, you know, last a shot wide. Obviously, Virginia makes that save. It just felt like in that point in the game, it's so obvious and such a straightforward point to make, but you just felt like we could have done with at least one lad on the bench, seemingly, who the manager could have trusted to bring on. But, you know, Tom Davis could have been that. Not sure why he didn't get on, especially with some of our midfielders on a yellow card. I thought that was a bit peculiar. But apart from him, you sort of got the sense that he looked at the options behind him, Carlo, and thought, would I trust Iwobi to come on into this setup and defend well? Probably not. The rest of them are kids. The others, you know, Michael Keane's a centre-back. You're not going to bring him on that position either. And, you know, if you could even bring on like a Josh King there or a Bernard or, you know, a James, if we're being a little bit greedy in that sense. But it just felt like they got to 70 and they did hit a bit of a wall.
Yeah, because there was no outlet, was there? And that's a real issue when you're playing Manchester City. I think where they sent probably sense blood, Matt, was around that time where that relentless nature that they have in terms of turning the ball over constantly, just churning out pass after pass after pass. It felt a little bit attritional, which probably played into our hands a little bit. But then afterwards, when they regained their stride, there was nothing Everton could do about it. It was literally just a matter of time. I think from a City perspective, normally in those games, I think where Everton have found success is, your opposition get frustrated by the fact they can't break you down And then ultimately, that's when they crack. They'll try something different, and that's when Everton can capitalise, maybe get... Oh, I'm pitch black now. Hang on, I need to move a bit.
Yeah, quite a bit of a metaphor for our season, that I think.
Oh my God.
The light's going out.
The light's going out on Everton's FA Cup campaign. I'll carry on talking in the dark. I don't mind.
Hey, Matt, can I just point out that on the post-match this season, Dave has been value for money for entertainment.
Absolutely. There we go. He's back. He's back again now.
So the point I was making is,
are you gonna have to get up again in 10 minutes and wave your hand around I think I might just throw something
but the point, this for people who used to watch us in the summer, this is the Doctor Who room. You remember the BBC tours that they do? They turned it into like what looks something like an operational room from the Death Star. It's just like pitch black around here, and presumably they want it pitch black as well when they turn the lights off when I'm talking. But yeah, I think when you have a team of that relentless nature, the sort of idea is, from Everton's perspective, is when they get bored, when they get frustrated with that sort of relentless pressure they have on the ball, trying to penetrate you, you will get your break. You'll get, at some point, you'll have earned that chance to maybe move forward yourself and try and nick that one on the goal. That's the whole point in this sort of fine margin football that Ancelotti has us playing against better opposition. It just didn't happen with them. And that's why they're so good, because they have such faith in what they're doing. The manager has such faith in what they're doing that they will keep doing it. They will literally keep bombarding you with the same ideas, the same pressure on the ball, the same pressing when they really lose the ball. And in turn, that turns, I think, you know, sort of mentally, it turns that on its head. And as Everton thinking, how do we get out of this? How do we possibly get a foothold in this game whilst we're doing this? And sadly, I think you're spot on, Matt. I don't think we had that individual on the bench who you put on to change that in any sort of way. You've got nobody on there who'll pin them back. You've got nobody on there who maybe takes... Like, look how high up the pitch Laporte was, and he was a key part in one of the goals. You have nobody there to pin him back. They're more than happy to sit 1v1 against a Calvert-Lewin or a Charlton on the halfway line because they back themselves that much. And you can't do anything about it when it's like that. And sadly, I think the inevitable happened in the end. There was an ominous feeling. A couple of times when we had the odd free kick or corner, I thought, you've got to make the most of this here. Unfortunately, we didn't. And, you know, Yao Virginia, I think you have to single him out for praise. I thought he was fantastic tonight. Actually, I think laid down the gauntlet for the two goalkeepers that we have. Because this is a young man that's been with us quite some time, but not really got his fair crack of the whip in terms of getting a chance. And I think he was probably man of the match for me tonight, from an Everton point of view anyway.
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth focusing on him, Robin. I just quite liked his attitude as well. You know, I think I'm sort of thinking today about what you'd be thinking today and how he would have slept and what his approach to the game would have been last night. And I think it was really interesting that when he walked on the pitch at the start, he seemed really pumped up and was like, you know, speaking to all the players, sort of, you know, had quite an aggressive demeanour to him. And I think he sort of carried that throughout the game. And, you know, I suppose in some senses you could say that this was a bit of a free hit for him, because Jordan Pickford will probably come back in again after the international break if he's fit, and, you know, he had the chance to seize his opportunity. But like Dave said, some outstanding saves. I mean, the one before City's opening goal will be forgotten about because they ultimately scored from it. But it's an incredible fingertip stop to put it onto the bar.
That save was one of those that when you first saw it live, you were like, did he get a touch on that? And then they show the replay and you realize just how amazing the save was. It was incredible. I thought you could, given the circumstances, you could not have asked for more from Virginia, coming into his first start for Everton, being in this moment against that side with a huge, you know, lens on the game nationally and so on. I mean, I think that it was incredible to see him kind of step up and look comfortable and look into it. And, you know, he may be one of those guys who has to psych himself up a bit, and that may just be something that's about jitters for a game like this, that's his first. But at the same time, you have to be encouraged, and it's going to be interesting now to consider what you need to do with Virginia if he continues to, let's just say he starts the first game out of the international break. No one's expecting that, but let's just say that there's a persistence of injury or what have you. If he puts together a few good games, then, and we're out of the trophy business, you know, I think some people might want to see him. But at the same time, I think that the overall way that Carlo approached needing to protect Virginia and needing to kind of protect the box was really well done, and it was well thought out, and ultimately it was just a bit of a lack of luck at the end, and kind of the overwhelming quality of City that ultimately undid Virginia and undid us. But I thought he was outstanding. I think for Everton moving forward, they can look at games like this and realize that at times, as much as we talk about performance and wins, that you have to consider what performances and losses look like, and really use those types of examples to really point to what you're doing well, but what you're ultimately missing. And I think that with Everton, we've discovered this season that Everton are capable of playing a pretty high level defensive game in these types of scenarios where they're not going to have the ball a lot. They've won a lot of games against more offensively skilled sides doing that. But what they lack, and Dave mentioned this before, I mean, I think we all know it, is they lack quite a bit still in midfield. They lack quite a bit in terms of chance creation and some finishing and just things that ultimately have to get better. And when you play a team like City, that's going to be the best opportunity for you to see what that gap is and where you need to improve. And so I'm trying to be encouraged by today in terms of the effort, but also to kind of use this as a gauge to how far we still have to go.
Yeah. Just as well, Dave, one other player I wanted to mention briefly before we obviously wrap up tonight. Ben Godfrey, Rob mentioned there, as sort of being a robot from the future, who'd come back. I mean, he gets a bit caught out for the second goal. I think De Bruyne obviously gets the run on him after the ball breaks down. But I thought just in general play tonight, up until that point, he was magnificent. He covered those channels, which City play in, so well with his pace and his reading of the game. And all of a sudden, you know, he's the one at centre-back, having played a left-back and right-back earlier in the season. Since he's been moved to centre-back, he's not really been moved out of that position, has he now? Obviously, it was Michael Keane that made way tonight. And it feels very quickly as though he's the fella that's going to play there with potentially few others around him.
Absolutely. And he wouldn't have looked out of place in the opposition side tonight. I think that is probably the biggest compliment you can play to him. I think he's got everything you want from a centre-half. He's decent in possession. He can run out with the ball. I think he's everything you want your modern-day centre-half to be. All rolled into one, to be honest, Matt, because neither, I think there's an obsession, isn't there? Particularly from sides like City, you need to have that ball playing or two ball playing centre halves. You can bring the ball out. You look at Laporte, you look at Diaz, both comfortable on the ball. Rolls Royce is the phrase I think gets used a lot about players of their ilk. I think Ben Godfrey's probably in that category, to be honest, because he has class and assurance and composure on the ball, but he loves to get stuck in as well. There's a certain side to modern day footballers, I think, where I think maybe John Stones might have been accused of this, certainly up until this season in his sort of renaissance recently, that there's defenders that don't like to tackle, which sounds quite strange, but I think many people might get what I mean there. I used to have a friend who was a massive Liverpool fan. He used to tell me about Daniel Agger. He was an excellent ball playing centre half, but hated to challenge. He hated the tackle. He hated sort of when it got to 50-50s and nitty-gritties. He was what he said was like a soft shoe player. He loved it when the conditions were nice and bright, pitch is immaculate, and he can bring the ball out on your side at 70-odd possession. Obviously, there's players that fit that. City, he'd absolutely walk into that side, a player like Daniel Agger. But for me, Godfrey's such a hybrid of everything you want from your modern-day centre-half in the attributes that he brings to the game. Loves an aerial challenge, brilliant in the air, loves a tackle on the floor, as we know, seems to be his sort of what he feeds off. He loves a 50-50, he loves an opportunity to take the ball and then maybe leave a little bit in on the player, not in a overly aggressive way that's going to result in the opposition breaking the leg, but he's aggressive in the tackle. And there's far too few players like him, not only at Everton, mate, but also further afield. I think he's a bit of a real throwback with that touch of sort of modern discipline about how he conducts himself on the pitch. And already you look at him and you think he's a player that will be desired by a lot of top teams. I think Matt Everton have secured a real asset in Ben Godfrey. What was it, 20-odd million? A lot of people
20 million bang on, wasn't it, I think, yeah.
A lot of people have raised their eyebrows at that from Norwich, Championship side, hadn't that much Premier League experience. All of a sudden, we're at the back end of this season, now looking at him thinking, how doesn't Gareth Southgate take this lad to the Euros? I know he hasn't been included in the latest squad, which is fine by me, by the way. But I think he's destined for really big things in his career, Godfrey, and hopefully he achieves them with us. But I tell you what, Matt, there'll be a lot of eyes on him. Wouldn't surprise me if he went the Euros, but he'll have suitors all over the place. So, you know, you look at assets, and we're always talking about players with potential sell-on value and whatnot. What would you pay for Ben Godfrey now? It's certainly more than what we paid for him. It's probably double, treble what we paid for him.
Yeah. Rob, do you want to speak any more about Godfrey?
I mean, I think Dave hits all the major points. Godfrey is someone who, I keep saying this because I think that obviously his future is as, hopefully a long future with Everton is as a center half, but you see the way he plays, you see just the amazing pace that he possesses and that combination, that combined with his aggressiveness, it's a more rare combination than I think we often realize, that there are players defensively who have to kind of make the best of what strengths they have. But he's one of those guys that doesn't really appear to have any major weaknesses. And really, you look at him now, and I think what excites me is that I still see, given his age and everything else, I still see a ceiling that's pretty high for him. And that's a scary proposition. To Dave's point, we can ponder what that means for his future, but I'm trying to live season to season more with this cast of characters that we've got. And I think that I'm going to enjoy Godfrey while we've got him. But I also think that he's going to be one of those players that's going to be targeted for a new contract really early into his very first contract with Everton. But he was outstanding tonight. He's been outstanding. And I think going forward, it is interesting to me what the kind of preferred partnership with Godfrey is going to be. And maybe the whole notion of preferred partnerships is becoming more antiquated. I'm not sure, because you see so many teams that rotate at least three. And if Everton make Europe, you can see Godfrey playing with a variety of different players and a variety of different formations, because he can play in all of them. And so it's exciting to know who he's going to play with and how he's going to play. But knowing that he's going to be the first name on the 11, knowing that he's going to be someone who makes a real difference in Everton bridging that gap, I think it's incredibly exciting. And hopefully we can keep him for a long time.
Yeah, looks like we've got a good one, doesn't it? Just very quickly before we wrap up tonight, a bit shorter than usual because Dave's got to get off. We've had one question, Rob, from Seb Vera asking what's in the cup.
What's in the cup? Oh, this is not just Everton.
Oh, Dave.
I'm literally just drinking water.
Not Liverpool either.
There we go. But just for both of you, really, obviously we've got a 2-week break now. Crystal Palace after the international break. Dave, like, as you said, you were very full of perspective after that Chelsea game, probably less so after the Burnley game. But how are you feeling about the campaign as a whole? Now, obviously, the FA Cup dream is over. I suppose what happened tonight, you can't really imagine we'll have too much bearing on what happens going forward in the league. But it'll be nice to have some lads potentially back fit after the break, won't it? And, you know, that Crystal Palace game is an absolutely must, underlined in bold capital letters, win, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. I think we're at that stage now, aren't we? If we've still got Champions League ambitions, we're 5 points off that with the game in hand. Look, there's still massive amounts of things to play for Everton this season, whether that be Europa League or Champions League. The international break's coming at an excellent time for us. It would have been nice to go into that having been able to look forward to, well, the players having a trip to Wembley. Sadly, that's not meant to be, but you look at the players we have to get back, Matt. We are down to the bare bones. I mean, Carlo Ancelotti's biggest achievement tonight was still managing to get two goalkeepers on the bench, despite having two goalkeepers injured and one starting as well. You know, we're fine in the goalkeeping department. If anyone wants to take one on loan, I wouldn't happily see that happen. But yeah, I mean, you have to look at this break coming at a really good time. I think Palace, there are at least a dozen sides I wouldn't rather have coming to Goodison as the first game back after the international break. Hopefully nobody gets injured on that, and we've got a full quota of players to choose from for this crucial run in, because that's it then, isn't it? I mean, it's three international games for most countries, and then it's full steam ahead to the summer, and that race for the top four, race for the top six, whatever it ends up being. I suppose as well, a little bit of a saving grace is Manchester City probably go on and win the FA Cup now. If all things are equal, you would suggest they've got the best team by a mile left in there. Chelsea might cause them problems, but you'd still expect them to win it. You'd expect them to beat Spurs in the League Cup, which would mean that the Europa League position, because I'm not interested in the other thing, the Europa League, that's not the Champions League, by the way. I mean, the conference. the Europa League will go down to seventh if City win both of them. And I think Everton have got more than enough in their side to stay within the top seven at the very, very least. And the Champions League positions are still there, Matt. Nothing's changed. We berated them for the defeat against Burnley, but Chelsea and Liverpool, the only sides to make up ground. We've still got the game in hand on Liverpool. And Chelsea only got a point from their last fixture as well. So all is not lost when it comes to that. And if Everton can regroup and make the most of this time off to get legs back and to be able to get their fitness up and players be able to recover, recuperate and mentally recharge the batteries, it's still there. It's absolutely still there. So yeah, I'm still optimistic. I'm still looking forward to the end of the season. And to date, I think we've had a really good, solid campaign that, if you put it in perspective, you can't really moan about, considering where we were going into this season. That horrendous end to the project restart season. Everton are in a really good place, and I'm excited about the future.
Rob, just share that positivity going forward, obviously, on what is a disappointing night, ultimately.
Yeah, I think I do. I think that I try to be kind of big picture, long perspective guy, and I think Dave pretty much nails it, that if you really consider all the factors, you consider the longer arc of time, this has been a pretty solid season, given what we've been able to spend or not spend, or what, you know, compared to some of these other sides. But I think we've made real progress. I know that the flaws and the areas of improvement and the areas of the pitch where we need to make additions, those things are pretty obvious, which that's not a bad combination to have, which is having a better season than the last, which hopefully we end in a position like that. And also knowing exactly what you need to do to address it, and having some potential avenues for bringing in some revenue from sales of players like Moise Keane and what have you. I mean, I do tend to think that Carlo Ancelotti, being this committed as he seems to be to this current iteration of Everton, the project, whatever you want to call it, and the fact that we're going to have money and a new stadium to go into. I mean, I think you have to kind of keep that longer term perspective in there when you're evaluating where Everton currently is. But I'm like Dave, I'm ultimately optimistic about this thing. And I'm kind of like the players. I'm really looking forward to a nice break. But when they get back, I think I'll still have that same optimism going forward as well.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I think they'll definitely benefit from a break. Obviously, we'll have loads of reactions to this week coming up on the Blue Room and the Blue Room Extra, and tons of coverage over the international break as well. But yeah, thanks very much for tuning in, whether you're watching us on YouTube, whether you're listening to us on the podcast tonight. Disappointment for the Blues in the FA Cup, but it is open that going forward, you can get that Premier League campaign back on track. Thanks very much for listening. We'll speak to you again very soon.
Northern Tool and Equipment isn't just a store. It's a problem solver's paradise. Fully stocked with the right professional-grade tools and fully staffed with experts who have the right answers. Problem solved.
Northern Tool and Equipment Summer Sale is on now. Stop in and save up to 50% on pressure washers, sprayers, generators, fans, lawn and garden equipment, and more. Hundreds of deals in-store or at northerntool.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.